Chapter 5. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this service today. Praise God. I'm enjoying the service today, and I know you are as well. And we thank God for the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. Makes all the difference in the world. As has already been testified, this is what makes a service. It's that spirit of the living God. Praise God. And we must have it. That's right. It's not an option. We must be born again, Jesus said. Amen. Amen. Jesus said it, not the charismatics, not the Baptists, not the Methodists, not the apostolics, not the Pentecostals. Jesus said, long before any of those organizations were ever formed, words were ever used to describe people like us, Jesus said, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we can't be born again without the Holy Ghost. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8 and 9, without the Spirit of Christ, you're not even his. Hallelujah. So you're right. It's not an option. We must. Hallelujah. Peter, go tell Cornelius what he ought to do. Amen. Praise God. We live in such a don't tell me what to do world. You want Jesus to tell you what to do. Maybe not everybody else. But if we do what he tells us to do, we're going to make heaven our home and hell a distant place. Right. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to reach for people so they can cancel their reservation for hell. Yes. Praise God. We got too many people reserved to go to hell. And Jesus is saying, I want you to cancel their appointments. Amen. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. I want them in my hotel. Praise God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, let's just love them a little more. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Let me try to get into this. I'm going to read two verses just to start, and then I'm going to backtrack to where we are in Luke 5 here. But I want to read verse 6 and 7. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the great word of God. I'm going to go to verse 10 and 11. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. John 21, verse 10, Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Verse 11, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. Let me read that again. Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. 153. Hallelujah. That's how I hear John saying it today. He drew that net full of great fishes. 153 of them. Be thankful for what you got. Some would complain because it's not 154. John figured it was good enough to say 153.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yet was not the net broken. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. God, help us today in your word. Would you help me, Lord, to say the right things in our hearts, to receive it and a miracle to happen from this point forward before we leave. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Hallelujah. I think I'm just going to take this off. Yeah, mute me a second. All right. So in one passage, the net broke, and the other passage didn't break. So let me just say this in starting. Jesus is not afraid to deal with your broken net. That's why he's there. Because he wants you to be brought to a place where your net won't break.
Amen.
See, he specializes in broken things, and when he can get a hold of broken things, they won't break anymore.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We could probably go home now and say, sermon preached. That this whole service was manifested unto you to show you that Christ is not afraid to step into your life even though it's broken. Praise God. That's why he's there.
Amen.
He wants to be there. And he's unafraid of dealing with any type of situation that you're in. We read here in Luke chapter 5. I'm going to begin at verse 1 and read right up to the verse that I had read. So I just thought I'd just skip to the punchline there and just let you know that he's here for you. He knows everything. He knows more than you think he knows. You ever live life feeling like nobody understands, nobody knows? I'm the only one. 7.5 billion people, and you're the only one with problems. Wow. We all must have it pretty good out here. $5 at the gas pump? Yeah, you're the only one with problems. We won't get there. I'll go there, rather. All right, here we go. Gotta hurry here. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. Apparently, he was not bothered by the fact that they were washing nets. You know, we can get involved with all the little nitty-gritty things of life, but when people want to hear the word of God, Jesus isn't waiting for you to get through with your nitty-gritty little things. There comes a point in time where you got to stop washing the net and just get in the boat. There's a reason why we're going to read why they were washing their nets. And if there's anything that can bust people of God out of a rut, It's Jesus just walking in and sitting in your boat and saying, let's go. Only Jesus knows how to keep you from feeling sorry for yourself. Because things aren't going the way you think they should be going. All he's got to do is not walk up and smack you in the side of your head and say, come on, and yell at you and belittle you. No, he's just got to sit in the boat and say, let's go. Because you ain't going to do much doing what you're doing now. Side thought, just a side note, just there to say, so I'm going to say it. We need to spend more time focusing on what we need to do with the net versus just washing it. God is not here for us to laundry Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. He's not interested in us making Acts 2:38 as clean as we can possibly make it. He's saying, look, your net's no good on land. Let's get it out. I want it to get dirty. Hallelujah. Dirty with what? All the people, what was somebody saying here today? With the attitude, Sister Tanya, I believe you're talking about that love of God. You know, because oftentimes we go out there, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but just I'll backtrack real quick. Well, we get out there and do what we do, and then we land back on the shore washing the net. Because we start getting tired of what we're doing out there. It gets to what it gets. All right. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, just a little history here on Simon. This is, technically speaking, kind of prior to him being called Peter, if you will. He's new. He's still new to Jesus. They're following him at this point. This is not the first time Simon's meeting Jesus. I know it can look that way in Matthew and Mark, because they just kind of summarize the event. He just goes by the seashore and finds two fishing, says, follow me. And you would think that's the first time they met him, but it's not. He's already met him. He's already healed some people in his family. He's already been called Cephas. Read John chapter 1, you realize this. So he's had some encounters with him, but that full going all the way hasn't happened yet. So Jesus is doing something right now that's going to just be the trigger for Simon. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answered and said, Master, you don't know what I've just been through all night long. And why, Brother Rick, does he ask us to do something we've already done and failed at? Why is he such a savior that says, all right, you fell off your bike and you scraped your knee and you're in the house sucking your thumb and wiping your knee and trying to make it feel better. And yet he walks in the house and says, come on, we'll go on bike riding. It's like, no, I'm here because I tried that. That don't you see my tears? Don't you see my bloody kneecap? Don't you understand what I've just been through? What do you mean you want me to get back on the bike? This is human nature. Human nature says we try, we fail, we retreat. But when you retreat, you're going to have a Savior coming after you. A Savior that in his nature, he doesn't retreat. Goliath blows smoke. He says, bring him down. I'm not running. And that's the type, that's why you need the Holy Ghost. It was said here today, you need the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost is Jesus Christ that don't retreat. That every time life breaks your net, and every time you get down, and every time you fall off your little bicycle, you've got the Holy Ghost that says, get up and get on it and try again. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I can just see Jesus sitting around and he's done preaching to everybody and Simon Peter has to just listen to it. He's not in all the way, so he's got to listen to all this teaching. Kind of feel for some of those homeless people that show up and they just want $5 and they have to endure a sermon in hopes of getting it. All right, I'm sorry. But I can see Jesus sitting there in the boat and then he turns to Simon Peter and says, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a great catch. He doesn't say, take me back to shore. I got somewhere to go. He says, go out again into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And he said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Let's pause for a minute before I read the next part. I just want to get what, I want to feel what Simon's feeling. I mean, he didn't use, you know, we tried fishing for a little while. No, he said we toiled. So he uses a big word, okay, pre-college word, toiled. And he says, we did some serious labor, like all night, dude. Not just for like an hour, no, they're not biting, let's go to shore. He said, we've been fishing all night long. We worked hard. They're not biting. You ever just feel your own toil? I mean, he's spitting up his disgust, letting Jesus know. But somewhere along the way, in that same conversation, he's able to also get out of his system this willingness to submit by saying, nevertheless. Now, I was not on that boat. I don't know if he had a little attitude in it. Nevertheless. I don't know, he could have. Some of you do. And you got the Holy Ghost, and he didn't even have the Holy Ghost then. So shame on you, not on him. Nevertheless, so he submits, though, even though in his mind, I'm going to have to do this all over again, because it's not, he's not casting a rod and a reel in the water and going bloop. No, they have to get another boat. They have to maneuver this entire net, and they have to do some little maneuvering in the water to spread that net. There's a certain, you know, strategic way they catch fish, so they're going to have to toil again. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, because you're asking me to do it. And this is where we need to get. If we're going to go from where we were and where we are, I should say, to where we need to be, we need to come to nevertheless. In other words, we got to go beyond just the toil and the disgust and the failure. And we've got to submit to somebody who can do something about my failure, about my scraped knee, about the tears running down my face, about my frustration, and just submit by saying, nevertheless, amen. At your word, I will let down the net. I'm going to do what you say, in other words. If you want success, you got to do what he says. He's not a stupid Savior. Amen. I do read in the Word of God, by him were the heavens made. Yes. Have you ever gone out and taken a picture of the heavens? Do you think he can do something with you? Can you submit yourself to, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Can you lift up your eyes just high enough to see what the Word can do? Right. Not your word, his word. Right. Not your ability, his ability. He's trying to take you out of your stinking thought process to show you his great thought process. Your toil doesn't work, but mine does. Your word's nothing, but my word's everything. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, I got to hurry. Praise God. All right, where are we? Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, as we read, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down on Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught, in other words, at the great catch of the fishes which they had taken. So also was James and John and the sons of Zebedee, which are partners with Simon. And Jesus said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Praise God. So their net broke. They couldn't hold the miracle. Can I talk to you for just another minute? Yes, sir. Have you ever felt like you'd gone to church and you just couldn't hold the blessing? You know, there are a lot of people who try. There are a lot of people who can be blessed by God. There are a lot of people who can be ministered to by the atmosphere, Brother Mike, of church. And then find themselves incapable of housing the miracle because my net just breaks. And I can't be consistent. I can't walk with God. I can't live for God. Every time I try to just nevertheless, my net breaks. Hallelujah. Just think about that a minute. Jesus isn't afraid of your net breaking. He knows everything about you is broken. That's why he's there. He's there to show you that he's your answer. He's your answer for the toiling all night and catching nothing. There's so much to say here. I was in prayer looking to God, and out of my mouth, I just said this, and I'm going to say it to you. Lord, we just need a net that won't break. I'm tired of losing fish. I'm tired of seeing people not be able to live and walk with God and stay consistent and overcome all the issues that want to keep you broken. I'm eager to pray and cry out unto God, saying, God, we've got a gospel, we've got a salvation, we've got a ministry, we've got an anointing, we've got a power that can keep you in the net. Praise the Lord. And that's what I'm just here to, it's a prayer and it's a cry for some and not for others, but it's a cry that says, oh God, our net's capable. Look, the resurrection came. You'll notice that on the other side of the resurrection, their net didn't break. Because Jesus has shown them that what I give to you, you can keep. And the miracle that I had for you before is the same miracle. It's not a different answer. He said, throw on the right side of the ship and you will find. Just go again and do what I said to do. Because they were somewhere they shouldn't have been. Out there feeling sorry for themselves, sucking their thumb, kicking their feet in the water, just feeling bad about everything that's happened. Peter just going over and over and over again in his head. I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. Well, it's true. That's why he was on the boat, and it's why he influenced other people to get on the boat with him. Look, I'm sorry. I may love the people of God. I'm not getting on your discouragement boat. Amen. Please forgive me. It doesn't mean I don't hate you. I'm not joining the crew. I'm not trying to move around your discouraged net because you don't expect to catch anything. If I'm going to throw it in the water, I'm expecting to catch something, and I'm here by the will of God, not because I'm running from some problem that I couldn't face and fix. Isn't that right? Now, the same Jesus that showed up in Luke 5 showed up in John 21. Same one that provided the fish. Hallelujah. It's just this time his intention was, look, I've done some things that will keep your net from breaking, so there's no reason why your net should break again. Look, I just want to tell the devil, you're a liar. Amen. This gospel is a net that cannot be broken. There's nothing wrong with the gospel. This net doesn't need you to wash it all day. It's perfectly capable of continuing to catch fish and to keep fish from falling. Hallelujah. But you've got to want to be kept. You've got to want to be kept. You've got to get a hold of this thing just right and stay in the boat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's love him again here. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Thank you, Jesus. I think it's important for both sides of the party, the fish being caught and the people casting the net. It's important for us to realize the net, the Word of God works. The Word of God works. And we gotta remind ourselves, no matter if we've toiled all the night, I don't care if we've toiled for the last 25 years, and it seems like just things break and just we're washing the net on shore, we got to just shake ourselves from all that and realize a net's no good on the land. Yes, it has to be washed. Yes, a net has to be repaired. All those things have to happen so that it's able to continually be used. But look, the gospel don't need repairing. Naturally, the nets need work, just like your tackle box needs work. And your fishing rod needs work. But the gospel don't need work. We need work. The gospel's just fine. And that's why when we want to retreat and just wash and scrub it and feel sorry and people don't want to live for God anymore, you try to preach and pray and have church and I just go through hellfire and brimstone the next day and, well, this stuff really works. And, you know, people are insane and people are inconsistent and, you know, church is full of hypocrites and... Am I in the right place? There are hypocrites at the grocery store. There are hypocrites at the mall. You work with hypocrites. So there's room for one more. I'm not going to use any excuse to die lost. I'm sorry. We've seen a lot of stuff in 35 years of this ministry from the time Brother Rutledge rode into town with his two daughters until now. But I cannot put my eye on quantity. If I do, then the only response coming from me is, woo, 30 fish. There are so many, and they're great fish. You just hear what I just said. The devil would like to say, it's only 30. What happened to the other 1,000? Praise God. I don't know. I just know about the great fish that I'm preaching to today. Hallelujah. Right, Brother Tim? And I believe God will give us 30 more. And then 30 more. And then when he does, I'm going to say 90. Wow, there's so many. And the net's not broken yet. Glory. Because this great gospel message can hold a great multitude. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. It's so the issue is not so much that the net's broken, it's our attitude handling the net. Amen. And it's what we're doing with the net. And it's our outlook, praise God. That, look, it doesn't matter if it seems like they're not biting. There are fish out there. Listen to verse 1 of chapter 5. I'm trying to close. That there are still people in this world pressing to hear the word. And they don't need us on shore sucking our thumb feeling sorry for ourselves. Jesus needs a boat. Give him the boat. He'll fix your problem. Praise God. You hear what I just said? So we're so fixed on our little petty problem, washing our net and feeling sorry for ourselves. We didn't catch nothing. Everything in life's going bad. And it can't go my way. I try and I fail. And up and down, up and down, up and down. And then Jesus just walks by. Wow, what was that? It's like he does the Elijah thing to Elijah. He walks by and brushes you with his mantle. Are you done talking so much and thinking so much like that? I got stuff to do. Come on, let's go. And he just sits in the boat and says, you know, I could just see Jesus with just kind of comical attitude sitting in that boat kind of going, come on, let's go. Push me out, you know, trying to shove off. What's he trying to do? Shove off. Come on, shove off. Some of you need to shove off. That didn't sound good, but listen, you need to shove off and away from mending your nets and washing your nets and crying in your beer, praise God. And you need to realize there's a work for God to do. There's living for God to do. There's power and authority and might and praise. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, life's too short to stay on shore. There are great fishes out there. The devil doesn't dictate this thing. Recession doesn't dictate high inflation and stupid people in the White House. Don't dictate nothing. There are great fish. There are people pressing. I want to know God. I want to know God. I want to know God. And they need to see us. They need to meet us, eager to get in the boat. Why? We're taking Jesus a little further from the land. Oh, we're taking him a little further than my thought process will go. I'm taking him away. He'll always go away from your little sourpuss way of doing things and your retreat when things don't go your way. He's always going to retreat himself away from that. You understand? He always goes a little further. Even in Gethsemane, he left the large part of the pack and then took Peter, James, and John, and he left them, and he went a little further. Always going further. You need to go further from your broken net and realize he's trying to take you to a net that won't break. And that's the whole message I'm trying to pass on to you today. Jesus wants to bring you to an unbroken net where the miracles won't bleed out, where you'll be sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost, meaning your bucket don't have holes. It's not going to leak out. Holy Ghost don't leak out. Monday, you'll wake up saved. Tuesday, you'll wake up born again. Wednesday, hey, we've been testified today here about the power of the mighty God who can deliver from all sorts of addictions, troubles, trials, problems. I'm here to say again, the net's not broken.
Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah.
Glory. Glory. Go ahead. Let's love him today. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus launches out into the deep because he's going after you. And he's taking you into a net that will not break and let you go. So we're going to give you a moment here to pray, to come and pray, and to reach for God. Amen. We're not here to say this little sinner's prayer, and I'm not against sinner's prayer. Only you can pray a sinner's prayer. You can't read a real sinner's prayer. They have great intentions with repeat after me, and that's all fine and good, but you know what? Sometimes you just got to throw that card away because you got a sinner's prayer that that card can't touch. Because you've done lots of sinning. And that makes you look like a very nice sinner. Be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. No. There are times when we just got to come clean with God and say, I'm a slob. I'm disgusting, and I'm nasty, and I'm one of those carbuncles that got caught up in that net. Pray, I'm not even a fish. Sister Tammy says, this is so good. Amen. God is so good. Keep God in your heart, mind, and soul. God is good and always good. Watching on YouTube. Everyone say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So one more time, let me... I think I'm done. There's so much to say here from so many different points, but most importantly, I just come here today to believe God and to pray and ask the Lord once again for my prayer is, God, I want to see some people kept. Because at times it seems like the net breaks and we just can't keep all the fish. I mean, that's what was happening. If their net broke, that means fish were getting away. I mean, it expresses the magnitude of the miracle, though, that the net wasn't big enough, capable enough on that side of Calvary to hold the fish. But after Calvary and the resurrection, the net's just fine. Amen? And this is where it's important. People need to realize about being born again. You're not going to be able to maintain the goodness of God. You may have a house full of people, but you may not have a house full of fish. You may not have a house full of sheep. There's a difference between born-again people and not born-again people. Jesus didn't give birth to a net-broken church. But a church that can house everybody. So let's stand, and we're just going to pray. I'm going to end it here because there's too much to say, and I'm out of time. So there's that side of this miracle, true, that he just, it was such a, it just blew Peter's mind. So that's it. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize the lesson. Jesus just did something that went over the top for Simon, and he just gave in. And that's what he's here to do for you, too. He's here to just to go over the top for you so that you'll finally just break and say, I'm in all the way.
Hallelujah.
I'm in all the way. I'm not holding back anymore. Simon was holding back, but after that day, he was not holding back. The scripture says they left all and followed him. He knows how to get a hold of you. He knows how to talk to you and get you to leave all and follow him. Praise God. There's nothing you're going through that's greater. So let's pray. If you want to, come and pray. Come and pray. We'll pray with you. We'll be praying ourselves. Let's reach for God. Come on, let's reach for God. I'm done. You just cry out. Just cry out. Just cry out. Oh, hallelujah.